Today is the last day of this retreat already. These past 8 days has been very quick. Tomorrow, all of you will go back home already. Any of you think that this past week has gone by quickly? If you have, then I think that your practice has developed quite well. It means that you are happy in your practice. It is the same with the monks. Sometimes I would ask the new monks whether they have ordained for 1 month or one pansa, 3 months. I ask them if the time passed by quickly or not. And if they say, yes, it passed very quickly, then it means that they can stay on as a monk. So this is a way to measure the progress of your practice. So for the Dhamma, the Buddha said that when he passed away, then one can recollect the teaching of the Buddha instead of him when his body is gone. So nowadays there are many teachings, especially online on the internet. But we have to remember that not everything is true. So we have to be able to separate facts and lies. Because technology, it is just a mean, but it depends on the person who uses it, whether we can use it for our own benefit or not. So in our lives, how do we spend it? We cannot just focus in the daily living. All of you here and also online, it is because you see the benefit of the practice in the Dhamma. This is why you join this retreat, because you see that the practice that the Buddha give, it bring happiness to our lives. So in this present days, the society is very advanced in terms of material. You can see that with the technology and AI, artificial intelligence, the world, the society advanced very quickly. But which side gain more benefit? Is it the defilement, the kilesas, or the Dhamma? Most people only focus in their worldly lives. They don't pay attention to the development of their mind. If for some people they have never practiced, they never pay attention to the Dhamma, then they may think that if their lives is good, if they are happy, then that should be enough. But they never thought that this life is not just the body. This life composed of the body and the mind, and the mind is actually more important. All of you join this retreat because your mind, your heart, order you to join. Some of you have joined for the first time, Some of you have been here many times already. This is because you can see the benefit of the practice of listening to the Dhamma. And the Buddha said that there are 5 benefits of listening to the Dhamma. The first one is you can hear something that you haven't heard before. The second benefit is if you have heard the teaching and you don't understand, then when you listen to it again, then you understand more. And the third benefit is this understanding leads to getting rid of the doubts. And the fourth point is your view become a right view, sammatitti. And the last point, which is the most important, is that your mind become bright. So these are the benefits of listening to the Dhamma.
For the teaching of the Buddha, the
most important point is to develop sati, or mindfulness. Sati is a Pali word. It means that which bring about wisdom. So if you have the wisdom without mindfulness, then you cannot use this wisdom for the benefit of your life. So all the great masters, when they give Dhamma talks, they always focus on mindfulness. Mindfulness come first, and then wisdom come afterward. So when you develop sati, the mindfulness, if you can do it constantly, then it becomes sampachanya, full awareness. So in this retreat, all of you have to find your own way, your own trick, to develop mindfulness in your daily lives. This is because all of you have different activities during the day, different habits, different characters, so you have to find your own way to develop mindfulness daily. But the most common practice that you can start with is the mindfulness of the breath, anapanasati. This is because everybody has to breathe. Imagine that you can keep your mindfulness just as you breathe. It becomes natural. How good would that be? This is something that is easy to say, but it is hard to do. But if you can do it, keep the mindfulness consistent, then you can develop the full awareness of your body and your mind, and this will lead to bring about rapture easily, and wisdom will arise. So you have to find your own trick to do that. One of the easy trick that you can practice is with your shoes or your sandals. So when you enter your home or this sala, then you can try to turn around and have the shoes point out of the sala. If you do this, it means that you have mindfulness. So this is an easy measurement, because you cannot measure your mindfulness with putto, because this is something that you cannot see. But you can measure your mindfulness from something that you do every day. Another example is when you drink a glass of water. So you can try to develop your mindfulness. If you pick up a glass and you do it without mindfulness, then you put it down again, and with mindfulness, you pick up the glass to drink. So you have to develop mindfulness to be part of your life. You do it consistently, and then eventually it will become automatic. It will become natural, just like your breath. If we can develop our sati, our mindfulness, into sampajanya, or full awareness, then this will lead to the rising of wisdom. And with that, we will be able to see the benefit of the Buddha Dhamma. This is like winning a lottery. The Kruba Ajahn, they say that being born and meet the teaching of the Buddha Sasana, is already a jackpot, the first prize. But we don't see the value in that. Most of us don't see the value in that. But if we practice and the mindfulness becomes strong, then we will be able to see, to contemplate whether the happiness that we see in our daily lives, if those happiness are real. Most of us depend on material to become happy. But actually, when you already want something, some belonging, then the mind suffers already. And when you get that thing, then you have to try to keep it with you, because you think this is yours. And when that belonging go away, then you suffer again. So you can see that there is suffering in throughout this acquirement of your belongings. But in your practice of the Dhamma, you may be able to listen to the Dhamma just one or two sentences, and that Dhamma touched your heart, and then you develop rapture. And this is the happiness that the teaching of the Buddha bring to your life. So you can think back to your youth and compare it with the present days. Which period of your life has more happiness? If you don't remember, then you can look at the old photos, and you can see that as children, there are a lot of smiles. But as you grow, then that smile start to disappear. And what replaced the smile is the tears. as children, we only live to play, to eat, we don't suffer. But as we grow older, then we develop more suffering. This is because we have more belongings in our life. So if we have, the more attachment we have, then the more suffering that we have. If you lose your belonging, it means that because you are attached to that material. So the Krupa Ajahn said, those who have more suffer more. So nowadays, you can see that people don't focus on the four requisites. Some cannot even recall what the four requisites are. They only focus on the money, wealth, and the phone. But actually, the four requisites are the clothes, food, dwellings, and medicine. So the more we are far away from the four requisites, the more suffering that we have. So there's a saying in Thai that the more you have, the greater the greed. So we should look into ourselves, that we shouldn't try to find what is missing so much that we miss what we already have. Because this greed, it never ends. So when you look back to the past, the time of our ancestors, our grandparents, the world is not developed. There was no AI, but people back in the old days, they are happier. They grow their own food. They exchange what they have for something that with friends or neighbors. But nowadays, we always think of if we exchange something, then if the value is the same or not. So this value, it is just convention. But because we are attached to this convention, then we give the value to our belongings. There is also another saying that if it is something you like, then that thing is not expensive. So for me, when I ordained, just as a lot of monks, we try not to be involved in the worldly activities. So one point is that we eat what we were offered. So maybe just some days the lay people offer instant noodles, and that is all I got, then I just eat that. There is no problem. But for the lay people, they are attached to the food that they offer. So when they offer something, then they always look whether the monks eat that food or not. And if the monks don't eat their food, then they suffer. So the Kruba Ajahn, they say, the food is already offered. If it is eaten or not, that is the matter of the monks. So there is no need to be sad. So I spent some time in the north of Thailand, and in that village, the village is separated into different sections. And when the monks go on alms round, in the beginning, everybody in all sections, they give alms, they give the food. But after a while, they see that the monks don't eat all the food, so there were leftovers. So afterward, they start to not want to give alms anymore. They say, you should give alms, not me. So the head of the village eventually had to decide to set certain dates for different sections. So Monday for section one, Tuesday for section two, and so on. This made me think back to a teaching of Longta Mahabua at Wat Pa Ban Tat Monastery. He's a very prominent teacher. He's an arahant. And at the monastery at Wat Pa Ban Tat, there are many people, many lay people go to give alms, to make merits, especially on the weekends and special days. And one time, a lay woman said to Longta, "Oh, today there are so many people coming to give alms." And Longta answered right away, "Yes, there are a lot, but all of those alms, is it yours? Those who give, they already receive their merits, but have you done it yourself?" So that lady, she, maybe because she see there were already a lot of people, then she didn't give alms. So they only, so a lot of people, they think like that. They only look at the surface. They don't see whether the alms or the offerings that come into the monastery, do the monks actually use that, give that away, make donations for the benefits of others. For Longta Mahabua, all the things that people offer, if it is something that is left over from the monastery, then he give it all away, even to other countries. He even bring requisites to help with the Lao people. So we should not look just at the surface. We shouldn't think that, oh, this monastery is already established, is already rich. We should go help other places. But it is actually our merits if we make donation, if we make merits with the prominent Kruba Ajahn, because he or they is they are helping the world in so many ways. And that is the parami of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, of the great masters. So if we make merits, we are the one who will get the benefit. So as we live our lives, then we shouldn't only focus in the worldly matters. We have to balance our life with Dhamma. Just as the Venerable Ajahn Buddhadasa say, we have to learn the way of the world and the way of the Dhamma. But these two things are the opposite of each other. For the world, the more you have, the better it is. But for the Dhamma, the more you let go, the better it is. So for the monks, you can see for an arahan, so the poorer you are, the more the happier the life is. So one time when I was a junior monk, I had a chance to give massage to Long Tam Mahabua. And I noticed that his yam, his back, is very small. And in the back, there are only a few belongings. So I thought to myself, oh, this is the belonging of an arahan. There's very few things. So I was listening to another monk complaining about building an upasthita hall. And he became stressed because the lay committee want one design and the architect want another design, and they were fighting. And Longpo Anan gave advice that the wealth of the monk is only the eight requisites, the triple robes, the alms bowl, and a few other requisites that we have. So for the monks, nothing really belonged to us. All these sala, these meditation hall, this upasthita hall, they all belong to the laity. What we have is actually just the requisite. So as monks, we have to be able to eat easily, live easily, go easily, come easily. So I thought back to the time when I was a lay person. I had to do laundry. And for the lay people, most of the time we have to iron our clothes. But as I become a monk, then I only have one set of clothes. So the clothes of going out, the clothes of sleeping, the pajamas, they are the same clothes. So I would like to summarize that the further away from nature you are, the less the happiness appear. So we have to try to live our life as close to nature as possible and follow the way of the nature. And we have to do that with sati, mindfulness, as our base. So this is the way that we take the step after the Buddha and all the Kruba Ajahn. We have to think that the worldly happiness Are they real? Lung Pu Cha said that the worldly happiness is like we're leaning against a rotten stump. And we don't know whether this stump is rotten inside. And one day, eventually, the stump just crumble and we would fall down. So if the worldly happiness is real, the Buddha would have taught us that way already. Before he became the Buddha, he was living in palace. He has a wife, his son was just born, but he left all of those behind. So we can think whether what we have in this life, can it be compared to the Buddha's wealth that he left behind? So in these present days, we consider this and that country as developed, whether it's a developed country, undeveloped countries, developing countries. But all of this development, it's just based on materialism. And all these developed countries, you can see that they are the ones who make war. So in the past, with the war, it's just knives and guns. But nowadays, there's missiles, nuclear missiles, and that actually bring so much destruction. So if we contemplate that, then should we really follow the developed world? Because in terms of Dhamma, Loka Dhamma, Loka actually means darkness. So as the Loka develop, so it means the darkness actually prosper. But on the other hand, Dhamma is the light. So if we want to have happiness in our life, then we should follow the way of the Buddha, of the Kruba Ajahn. Even though we live in the world, but because we have Dhamma, we develop Dhamma from our practice, then we will be able to live happily. For many people, it is too late for them to practice. We should consider ourselves lucky because we are still the ones who walk into the monastery. So in Thailand, when a person die, the relative bring them to the monastery, to the temple, to have the funeral and cremation. So in a way, they are lying down as they enter the temple. So we are lucky to be able to walk into a temple. And I noticed that in the funeral, all the deceased, they are good people, because however they were in life, then in the last day, the cremation, there's always praise being said about that person. So I give my anumodana that all of you are able to walk into this monastery by yourself. You have a lot of merits already to come and practice. And I would like to anumodana with all of you. All of you can make your own holy water at your home. There's a technique. So just have a bottle of water, and at home, if your spouse or your partner, then there's arguments, and the argument is about to start, then you take that bottle and you just think of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and you drink that water and just hold it in your mouth. Don't swallow, and you hold it in your mouth and just smile. So this way, then there is no fighting. You just hold the water in your mouth and smile. It is the same if you have children, if you have kids. You know, the kids, it is their nature to be naughty. So you can have them hold this water in their mouth also. And you can do it, they can do it the whole night, and the naughtiness will go away. Or you can do, if the kids are naughty, then you can drink that water and hold the water in your mouth also. Because Longpu Sha said that when you are angry, then it is not the time to teach someone. So what you have to do is you hold the water in your mouth and smile. And when the anger went away, then that is the time that you can teach your children. So when you hold the water in your mouth and you think of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, this is the way to recall your mindfulness. So this holy water, it is holy only because you have the mindfulness. So this is the easy kamatana that you can practice. So if we don't practice, then mindfulness will not happen. But now that you have the holy water with you when you go home, then the mindfulness will come easily.
Jato, jato, jato. See you next time.